So, imagine for a second that you are the CEO of a company,
Okay.
but in this company, your most vigilant, fast-acting, and like ruthlessly honest project managers aren't actually human.
Right, they're an agentic swarm of AI.
Exactly. They don't sleep, they don't, play office politics, and they certainly never sweep bad news under the rug just to protect someone's feelings.
I mean, it's an imposing thought. You're talking about a management layer that operates with just absolute unblinking transparency, just watching every single task and assumption.
Imposing, but I know how much time you spend thinking about organizational bottlenecks.
Oh, absolutely.
Since you're always exploring ways to optimize workflows and kind of cut through corporate red tape, I knew this stack of sources had your name on it.
I was thrilled when I saw them.
So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack the work of Rob Van Linde. He's an expert in agile methodology and AI, and we're looking at his creation called Flow OS.
Right, FlowOS.
From what I gather, it's an operating system entirely managed by specialized AI agents. But the sources throw around a lot of heavy frameworks right at the start. Design thinking, OKRs, Kanban.
Yeah, it's a lot of terminology up front.
How do these actually fit together inside an AI system?
Well, to understand FlowOS, we really have to look at how humans usually fail at those three frameworks.
Okay, fair point.
Usually, a company sets these massive abstract goals. Those are the OKRs, right?
Sure.
Objectives and key results.
The big picture stuff.
Exactly. Then, a completely different team uses design thinking to brainstorm what the customer actually wants.
Right.
And then finally, the developers get like a bunch of sticky notes on a Kanban board telling them what to build.
And none of those people are talking to each other.
Exactly. Those three layers rarely communicate effectively. So the boardroom vision gets totally lost by the time it reaches the developer's desk.
So the strategy totally disconnects from the execution.
Fundamentally, yes. And FlowOS bridges that gap. It uses AI agents to constantly read the daily Kanban tasks and then cross-reference them against those big picture OKRs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And what makes our source material so compelling today is that we aren't just reading like a theoretical white paper about this.
Right, we actually get to see it.
Exactly. We have Rob's blog post detailing the architecture alongside this raw, unedited transcript of him building the system live.
In that tool, Tasklet.ai, right?
Yes, exactly. With an AI assistant in Tasklet.ai, we get to see the actual mechanics of how this swarm operates.
Well, I want to start with the mechanics of time, actually, because the first thing that jumped out at me from Rob's blog post is how he manipulates waiting.
The latency.
Right, because when I use a chatbot today, if I see a loading spinner for more than like 3 seconds, I assume my Wi-Fi is broken.
We all do. We have zero patience.
Zero. But Rob takes this completely counterintuitive approach. He mentions deploying and I'm quoting here, a headless OS at the edge, which connects to the AI model Claude via Cloudflare Workers.
Right. Now, I understand the individual words there, but how does that actually work in practice?
So, let's break down the edge concept first. Normally, when you query an AI, your request travels to a centralized server halfway across the country.
Okay.
It processes, and then it comes all the way back. Cloudflare workers push the application logic to servers physically located much closer to the user, the quote-unquote edge of the network.
So it's about geographical proximity, just cutting down that initial travel time.
Partly that, yes. But it's primarily about asynchronous architecture.
What does that mean here?
Well, when you ask the FlowOS swarm a question, the edge system validates your request in about 50
I
milliseconds.
use 50
Yeah,
milliseconds.
practically instant. But it doesn't give you the answer. It just says, message received, the swarm is on it.
Oh, I see.
It completely eliminates the dreaded loading spinner and gives the user this instant psychological win. But the actual answer to your question doesn't come back for another 30 seconds.
30 seconds. I mean, in tech time, that feels like a lifetime.
It does. But the sources argue that you actively want it to take that long. And I was thinking about this like a high-end restaurant experience.
Oh, I like that. How so?
Well, when you order a complex dish like a souffle, the waiter writes it down and acknowledges you instantly. You feel taken care of. That's the 50-millisecond response.
Right.
But if that waiter comes back 2 minutes later with a fully baked souffle, you know something is completely wrong.
Yeah, you know they just microwaved a frozen dessert.
Exactly. You want the kitchen to take 30 minutes to bake it from scratch.
That analogy holds up perfectly when you look at what the AI is doing behind the scenes during those 30
It's
seconds.
not just sitting there.
No, it's not just thinking to generate text. It's executing a massive multi-step workflow. According to the transcript, during that window, the agent wakes up, reads its central instruction manual, fetches its specific identity card, and then...
And then it gets to work.
Right. And then it runs something like 22 distinct SQL queries across the project board.
22 queries. So it's actually hunting for hard data instead of just generating a plausible sounding response.
Exactly. Which brings up a critical technical hurdle, actually. Mm-hmm. AI models like Claude are inherently stateless.
Meaning they don't remember things.
Right. Every time you prompt them, it's like they're waking up with amnesia. They don't remember the conversation you had 5 minutes ago unless you feed the entire history back to them.
Oh, wow.
So to solve this, FlowOS uses Google Drive as a state store.
A state store. So Drive basically acts as the AI's external memory.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
The agents use Drive to write down what they find, log their queries, and remember the current state of the project.
Right.
They pull real files, analyze the data, generate risk alerts, save their work, and then finally formulate an answer for the user.
That makes the comparison Rob makes later in the text so much clearer.
The Vanilla Claude comparison.
Yeah. He mentions asking Vanilla Claude, you know, the standard instant reply version you'd use on the web about his own FlowOS system.
And what happened?
The standard Claude answered in 2 seconds, but it completely hallucinated 8 fake AI agent names.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it served up the microwaved souffle.
Exactly, because the standard model was forced to guess based on patterns rather than query a database. FlowOS trades that speed for grounded truth.
But, I mean, giving the AI 30 seconds of unsupervised access to a corporate Google Drive introduces a terrifying variable, doesn't it?
It definitely could.
If we are deliberately letting an amnesiac AI loose in our company files to run dozens of queries in the background, how do we guarantee it doesn't accidentally, like, delete the entire project board while it's thinking?
Right.
How does Rob stop these agents from touching data they shouldn't?
This is where we get into Rob's governance model, which he calls Orge DNA. And his underlying philosophy here is just fascinating.
Okay.
He argues that you have to treat an AI agent like a highly intelligent 5-year-old child.
A 5-year-old who happens to have memorized the entire internet.
And that is exactly the danger. The AI has infinite knowledge, but zero lived experience. It has never felt the weight of consequence or responsibility.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You wouldn't give a 5-year-old vague instructions like, you know, fix the company and hand them the keys to the server room.
Definitely not.
You have to create incredibly rigid, explicit boundaries.
And the transcript shows this, starting with something called a user story card, right? The rule hard-coded into the system is literally no card, no work.
Yes. Think of the user story card as a digital passport. Before an agent can execute a single SQL query or read a file, it must fetch its specific card from the Google Drive state store.
And if it can't find it?
If the card isn't there, the agent shuts down, period.
Wow. And the card dictates exactly what that specific agent is allowed to do. Rob mentions a key ring and a traffic light system attached to these cards.
Right, the traffic lights are crucial.
Green means playground the agent can read and write freely. Yellow means workspace, proceed with caution, usually requiring human supervision.
And red?
Red means no-go zone.
The beauty of that traffic light system is that it removes inference. We often get into trouble with AI when we ask it to read the room or guess what data is appropriate to analyze.
Right, because it can't read the room.
Exactly. FlowOS agents never guess. The card explicitly tells them, you are in a green zone, execute the query, or you are in a red zone, halt.
But even if an individual agent knows its boundaries, Rob is running a swarm of 7 different agents.
7 of them, yeah.
How do they know how to talk to each other without stepping on each other's toes? I mean, if they're all 5-year-olds, how do you prevent them from fighting over the same task?
That is handled through the ACP, or the Agent Communication Protocol. Rob describes this as the organizational CSS,
yeah,
borrowing a web design term.
Okay.
It essentially acts as a central constitution for the swarm.
In a traditional multi-agent setup, developers usually write a massive separate instruction manual for each individual agent.
Right, they do, which becomes an absolute maintenance nightmare.
I can imagine.
If your company policy changes, you have to dig into 7 different code bases to update the rules. But in FlowOS, the ACP is one single Google Doc.
Just one document.
Just one. When the 7 agents boot up during that 30-second window, they all read that exact same document to understand the global rules of engagement.
The language in those guardrails is remarkably vivid, too. It goes back to that 5-year-old metaphor. The system doesn't use corporate jargon.
Right.
The Flow Guardian agent is explicitly told, You are a smoke detector, not a firefighter. Another agent tasked with reporting is told, you are a journalist, not a spin doctor.
By using absolute metaphors like that, you strip away the ambiguity.
Yeah.
If you tell an AI to handle risks, it might decide the best way to handle a failing project is to just delete it entirely.
Huh. The ultimate risk mitigation. Just erase the project.
Exactly the kind of logic a five-year-old might use.
Right.
But if you tell it you are a smoke detector, it understands its only function is to ring the alarm loudly so a human can come with the extinguisher.
I love the theory here. The traffic lights, the centralized constitution, the metaphors. But I have to push back a bit.
Go for it.
Because trusting digital five-year-olds to manage complex million-dollar corporate OKRs sounds great on paper. But what happens when this hits the messy, irrational reality of human employees?
Well, the transcript actually puts this to the test with a real-world simulation.
Oh, right, the Euro retail scenario.
Exactly. Rob seeds the database with a scenario for a fictional consulting client called Euro Retail Group. And the objective is a classic, high-stakes metric reduce online cart abandonment.
A metric every e-commerce listener knows intimately. So he unleashes the swarm, specifically the Scale Sentinel and the Discovery Gate agent, onto this Euro retail data.
And what do they find?
The AI uncovers an operational disaster.
It really does. The swarm reports back that Discovery Gate compliance across the team is at 0%.
Zero.
Meaning 80% of the team's underlying assumptions about why customers were abandoning their carts had never actually been tested.
The specific failure here is just fascinating. The human team had a key result, let's call it KR1,
yeah,
that was tied to fixing cart abandonment.
Right.
The humans had marked it as done in the system. They were probably celebrating shipping the feature, but the AI cross-referenced that done status with the central database and found zero discovery records.
The humans shipped a solution without ever validating if the customers actually wanted it.
Classic.
But notice how the AI interprets this failure. It doesn't just log a minor formatting error. The AI explicitly flags this as a systemic governance breakdown.
It sees the bigger picture.
Yeah. It identifies that the human team is treating the discovery gate, which is supposed to be a mandatory check like a decorative piece of paperwork.
And because it has that 30-second processing window, it doesn't stop at the symptom. It hunts down the human bottleneck.
Exactly.
The swarm digs through the dependencies and finds that a manager named Lisa DeVries, who runs the UX team, owns 3 of the top 5 blocked tasks in the entire company.
Including an A-B testing initiative that had been stalled for weeks simply because one individual designer went on sick leave.
This detail totally changes how I view AI automation. Rob's framework categorizes communication into 3 types. First, there's A2A, or agent-to-agent.
Right.
That's the swarm silently talking to itself, running those 22 SQL queries and discovering the Lisa DeVries bottleneck. Next is A2H. Agent to human.
That's the smoke detector going off.
Exactly. Compiling the damning report and flagging it for the CEO.
But the third type is the real paradigm shift, H2H, or human to human.
Yeah, this part blew my mind.
When the AI presented the Lisa DeVries problem to Rob, it didn't offer to automatically draft a passive-aggressive email to her. It didn't try to reassign her tickets to another department to optimize the workflow.
It explicitly instructed Rob to initiate a cockpit visit with Lisa. The AI insisted that the human manager go have a face-to-face, difficult conversation with their employee.
Because the AI understands its boundaries as a smoke detector. It realizes that a stalled A-B test isn't a coding problem. It's a resource allocation and human management problem.
We spend so much time worrying that AI is going to automate away management and turn us all into robots. But here, the AI is doing the exact opposite.
It is.
It's forcing human managers to actually do the hard, uncomfortable, interpersonal parts of their jobs that they've been avoiding by hiding behind software tickets.
It acts as the ultimate impartial auditor. The AI doesn't care about office politics.
Nope.
It doesn't care if Lisa is highly respected or if confronting her is awkward because her team is overworked. It just looks at the data, sees the math doesn't work, and tells you to go fix your team. It enforces organizational integrity.
Which leads me to a massive contradiction in the source material.
Okay, what's that?
If this technology is so effective, if one guy can build an impartial, hyper-competent AI management swarm that catches every skip step in an afternoon, why isn't every enterprise company on Earth running FlowOS right now?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And the transcript explores it through the lens of cultural friction, specifically focusing on the European enterprise context.
Right.
The core of this friction revolves around a technology called MCP, or the Model Context Protocol.
The sources mention MCP repeatedly as the key to deployment. What is the actual mechanism there?
Think of MCP as a secure, universal translator. It's the plumbing that allows an external AI model, like Claude, to securely reach into a company's internal proprietary tools like Jira, Salesforce, or a local SQL database.
Okay.
And it does this without exposing all that data to the public internet or breaking the internal security protocols.
So the tech exists to do this safely. The plumbing is built.
The plumbing is completely functional. But Europe, and Germany in particular, has a deeply ingrained regulation-first culture.
Ah, right.
With frameworks like GDPR and the sweeping AI Act, European companies are culturally conditioned to regulate heavily before they build or integrate anything new.
There is this massive anxiety around data residency. You can almost hear the corporate lawyers asking, where is this server run? Is the data physically resting on German soil? Can the AI provider see our trade secrets?
And that anxiety trickles down into severe corporate IT gatekeeping. The transcript points out the reality of dealing with the German Mittelstand.
Those are the mid-sized manufacturing companies, right?
Yes, highly successful mid-sized manufacturing and tech companies. If you propose a new API integration to them, their IT departments will often take 6 to 18 months just to run security audits and approve the connection.
Wow. They operate on a timeline of years, while MCP and agentic workflows move in weeks.
Exactly.
The contrast the sources draw is staggering. Rob, a Dutch guy sitting at his laptop, built a fully governed 7-agent swarm with a constitutional ACP and strict traffic light data guardrails in a single afternoon using standard cloud tools.
Yeah, the transcript features a highly telling tangent about this.
Yeah.
Rob asks his AI assistant about integrating a German software called ZEP.de.
What's that?
It's a massive time-tracking tool used by companies like Mercedes. The AI confirms that EU-native tools like ZEP actually have fantastic secure APIs.
Really?
Yeah. The data doesn't have to leave the country. The technology is entirely capable of being integrated safely and privately today.
So the roadblock isn't the software, it's the mindset.
Rob summarizes this beautifully by quoting Peter Drucker, "Culture eats strategy for breakfast."
Such a great quote.
It is. Europe and many large enterprises globally confuse heavy governance with safety. They think that by moving incredibly slowly and generating endless compliance paperwork, they are being responsible.
They're so busy building fences that they've forgotten how to run.
Exactly.
But FlowOS proves the inverse. If you build explicit hard-coded boundaries, if you have the traffic lights and the central ACP constitution, you can move incredibly fast because the guardrails are absolute.
They don't have a technology problem, they have a permission problem. And if we synthesize all of the sources today, this permission problem highlights the core philosophy of FlowOS human before the loop.
Human before the loop. I like that.
With the right constitution, AI swarms do not replace humans. They don't let us off the hook. They actually expose the discipline we only pretend to have.
It fundamentally reframes how we should be looking at AI integration. We started this deep dive talking about a 50-millisecond illusion and the comfort of an instant reply.
Right.
But we've learned that real operational truth takes 30 seconds of hard work, pulling state files, and running queries.
Absolutely.
The Flow Guardian flawlessly flagged when the Euro retail UX team was dropping the ball and hiding behind vanity metrics.
It caught them red-handed.
It did. So knowing how vigilant this swarm is, I want to leave you with a thought to mull over today.
Okay.
If you bypassed the IT gatekeepers and deployed this exact agentic swarm over your own team's workflow tomorrow, well, what uncomfortable operational truths, what skipped discovery gates would the immune system expose about you?
That is a great question to end on.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.